Tonight, I want to continue the theme of the Holy Spirit and the various aspects of His ministry, looking at it from the aspect and perspective of the Tabernacle of Moses. We have the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is basically a ministry in the outer court. And tonight, I want to speak on the seven spirits of the Lord, which is the ministry in the holy place. I want to specifically address this message with the thought of receiving the anointings and how to receive them. The seven spirits of the Lord, as Pastor Dan Curran brought out so eloquently this morning, are the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And they are given to us, of course, in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. And then, looking at these seven anointings, if we can call them such, we have the Spirit of the Lord, which is given to preach the Word of God. And in order to have that anointing, we must first, obviously, have the message. Because the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord comes upon the Word. And that Word we must get from the Lord. And as Peter brings out in 2 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, we must speak as the oracles or mouthpiece of God. And if we will seek God for His message, then His anointing will be given to us. The anointing comes upon His Word. Now, the next of the seven spirits of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom. We have to treasure wisdom. And Daniel brought out in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 that God gives wisdom to the wise. And one of the things that God has been showing us here in Zion Chapel is this, that if we will put our feet in a path, then God will eventually confirm us in that path. If we put our feet in the pathway of righteousness, then God will fill us with His righteousness. If we put our feet in the pathway of truth, then God will confirm us in that and give unto us truth. And therefore, in this realm of wisdom, to receive the Spirit of wisdom, and we're going to speak on this a little more in depth later on. First of all, it is to have an appreciation of wisdom. It is only as we appreciate something that we are going to receive it. For example, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to those who hunger and thirst after Him. It's not given idly. And the Spirit of wisdom is given to those who treasure wisdom and who understand what David wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 4 to 7 when he was instructing King Solomon. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. And in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11, it speaks of wisdom being more precious than that of rubies, gold, or silver. There is absolutely nothing that can compare to wisdom. And as this truth enters into our hearts, we began to have a hunger and thirst after wisdom. The price of wisdom, Job says in Job 28 and verse 18, is above rubies. And how do we get wisdom? First of all, we must treasure it. First of all, we must understand that wisdom is to make the right choices. And as we seek in little things to make right choices and to be wise, then we have put our feet on the pathway of wisdom. And God will confirm it. But also, wisdom is so precious that in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And therefore, in a certain sense, wisdom comes from God and is given to those who please him. The spirit of wisdom is a reality. It is seen in the holy place as the candlestick. And when I was pastoring many years ago in the West, we had a difficulty in our church, and some deacon's wife spoke out loud, no, when somebody spoke in other tongues. And when I came back into the parsonage, it was a white wall in one of the rooms, and as I came into that room, I saw across the wall the candlestick of God. And it was awesome. And the anointing, like a tent, came upon me, the spirit of wisdom. And so I know of a certainty of what I speak. These seven spirits are anointings. They're like a covering that comes upon you. And so therefore, we want to, above all, seek wisdom. We want to receive an anointing of wisdom tonight, but we must really treasure it. And I had this scripture that kept going through my heart, and obviously it is for someone here tonight, that David behaved himself wisely in the house of Saul. And if you are in a situation where you are with an apostate, where you are with someone who despises the things of God or doesn't walk wholeheartedly, you know, it is so important to walk wisely in their presence. Well, the next one is the spirit of understanding. And the spirit of understanding basically enables us to understand what God is doing and why he is doing it, and also what we should do in any given situation. For the sons of Issachar, they knew what Israel should do. But also, understanding reveals unto us the ways of God. And I cannot overemphasize this, and I want to plead with you. You can look at things with your natural eyes and form an opinion. You can hear things that people say and because of it form an opinion. And that can be wholly erroneous. The psalmist in Psalm 73 looked at the prosperity of the wicked, and he says, in vain have I cleansed my heart. But then in verse 17, he said, but when I went into the sanctuary, when I came into the presence of God, then I understood. I understood. And as we will come into the presence of God and ask for understanding and ask God how he sees things, oh, how different will our judgment be. And in order to have understanding, we are told in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 2 to 7 that we are to attend to no understanding. In other words, we are to cry out, Lord, give me understanding. Let me see this situation as you see it. And if we will do that, we will understand the ways of God, and we will understand why the situation has occurred. We will understand also why God deals with it in a certain way. And all we'll say is, Amen, now I understand. And oh, what a liberation there is when we understand. And I would plead with you, you know, not to look with your eyes, not to hear with your ears, but rather to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, how do you look at it? And then when he gives us understanding, oh, our heart is established in the right way. And so God wants to give us understanding. And then the spirit of counsel. Now, the spirit of counsel comes upon the counselor. That was one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He is called Wonderful Counselor. And the spirit of counsel is for those who are counselors in the body of Christ. And we have to be very careful indeed when we counsel people. So many people I have seen turned aside by wrong counsel. They didn't come to the true counselors appointed by God, who were covered with the spirit of counsel when they spoke. And because of it, many have ended up shipwrecked. I just want to say this, that in the area of counsel, there are basically certain main, if I could say this, problem areas. First is marriage. And, you know, God has really been dealing with me, you know, on this thought of King David, you know, asking counsel of God, shall I go up to the Philistines and will you deliver me? It is not sufficient to say, is this the one that I can marry? But rather to find out the end of the matter. You see, when some of the senior pastors and I were at a Bible school together, there was a young man who rang me very early in the morning and said, can I come and see you? And I thought it was some absolute emergency, a phone call he had received or something like that. And I said, yes. And then I said to the Lord, what is he coming for? Oh, the Lord said, he's coming to ask you if he can marry a certain girl. And this is 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, Lord, what am I to say? Oh, tell him that he can marry her. But also tell him that if he marries her, she hasn't got the same call, and she will drag him down, and he will not attain unto the ministry that I've called him. And so he came very bright to the door, and he said, I wanted to ask you. And I said, well, you wanted to ask me about marriage, didn't you? You wanted to ask me about a certain girl. He said, yes. And I said, the Lord says you can. Oh, he said, thank you. But I said, marry her, and you will miss the mark. Oh. Well, you can give sound counsel, but that doesn't mean to say somebody's going to take it. And he went and married that girl, and about, I think it was about 10 years afterwards, or even more than that, I somehow felt moved upon to recount that. Oh, some 600 miles away, 10 years later. Or it may have been 15, I don't know. But anyway, I recounted it. There was he and his wife in the meeting. I, of course, mercifully didn't see them. You see, when I was recounting it. But there you are. Oh, how important it is, you know, to know the end of the matter. Is this girl going to enhance my ministry? Is she going to encourage me, or is she going to block me? Children, can I have children? Lord said, oh, yes. Oh, you can have. You can have what you want, but you better know who you're having. Lord, you know, is this one that I'm asking you for, you know, going to be in heaven, in eternity? Now, I was recounting, you know, to some, you know, about somebody at the turn of the century, you know, had met Adam in heaven, and he was talking about Cain, sorry. He knew his son was in hell. And if you don't ask God, you know, about children, sadness. You'll remember it. In eternity, all the grief will be taken away. And on children, you don't consult the grandparents whether you'd have children or not. They want multitudes. You ask the Father in heaven. And then something else that you come to, and, you know, speaking of the secular life, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? God has got a purpose in our secular life. And he will use that to mature us. And I believe that in our secular life, we should attain to the level of our God-given ability. So many people are so lazy. They don't attain to that which God had purposed for them in the secular life. Then, of course, obviously, as Christians, we should ask, Lord, what is the church that you want me joined to? Because you should be joined to the church of the same vision. The spirit of might, or strength, how do we attain it? He giveth power to the faint, we're told, Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Almost as though when our strength is finished, his strength takes over. Because he said, my grace, in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And it is when we recognize, you know, our own weakness and our own dependency upon God, that in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 1, it speaks of exchanging our strength for his strength. And in these last days, we need an infusion of the strength of God. So that, as King David said in Psalm 18 and verse 29, we can run through a troop. We can run through the enemy. We can leap over a wall. Leap over obstacles. And I'm speaking, of course, spiritually, but I believe in the last days when the anointing really falls, I've seen visions of extraordinary things happening. And how do we enter into this strength? Because so many Christians say, oh, you know, they can't do this, can't do that, because they haven't got any strength. Well, is to know how to receive. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 12, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we will have a rejoicing spirit and rejoice in the Lord, we open our hearts and our physical bodies to receive God's strength. And it's an attitude of heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. An attitude opens the way for an infusion of strength. Attitude. Putting our feet in the pathway of joy, of rejoicing. And if we do, we shall start to have an infusion of the strength of God. The spirit of knowledge, well, you know, that starts with study. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, study to show yourself a workman. We have to put our feet in the pathway of study. Even in the secular life, those who have discovered great inventions have made the point it was 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration. And we have to put our feet, our heart and our mind into the study of God's word. And as God sees that we are intent in the pursuit of knowledge, he will give us the spirit of knowledge and revelation upon his word. And then the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is called his treasure. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. His treasure, meaning few possess it. In Isaiah 11 and verse 3, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. The fear of the Lord is holiness. Holiness is understanding. With the holy, there's understanding. And the fear of the Lord promotes holiness. What is the, if I could say this, the pathway to receiving the spirit of the fear of the Lord? In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, it is to hate evil, hate pride, hate arrogancy, hate the evil way, and to hate the froward or evil speaking. You see, these anointings are given to us as we will walk in these paths. As we seek to speak with the oracles of God, we shall have the anointing. Wisdom, and I'm going to come to that in a moment, because we're going to pray. Because I believe God to give impartation tonight. I believe it is a time, a convention of receiving. Wisdom to the wise. See? And understanding. If we will seek understanding, if we will seek to know as God knows and sees, we will have understanding. Counsel. If we will ask God counsel and do it. So many come for counsel and don't do it. And you're going to end up on the hill of Ein Rogel, which is the hill of evil counsel, just opposite Jerusalem. If you ask and don't obey, you're going to get another form of counsel. The spirit of strength, you know, as we've said, a rejoicing heart, rejoicing spirit. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. It's the attitude of joyous acceptance of the task that God gives. And if you joyfully accept, God will give you the strength to do it. Spirit of knowledge. No good sitting in a chair doing nothing. No, the concordance, books, Bible, study. And if we will do that, then God will pour upon us spirit of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, his treasure, holiness, it is as we start to seek to do the things that please God, and as he sees our feet in that pathway, he is going to give us the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now tonight is to be a receiving. Amen. Receiving night. You know, as we look at these seven spirits, one stands out as being an anointing that God would have each of his people receive, and that is wisdom. And how do we receive wisdom? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that ye might receive the spirit of wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5 said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, it says, Joshua was filled with wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. And we are going to invite in a moment the senior pastors to come and stand in the front. And those of you who desire wisdom and will walk in it. You know, the terrible thing about wisdom is this. You can tell someone else what to do and not do it yourself. King Solomon is that tragic example. He was filled with wisdom. He had a wise heart. He knew what right choices make. He could tell everyone in Proverbs, stay away from those strange women. It's full of it in Proverbs. So, well, what did Solomon do? Collect 1,000. You should not go near those strange women. As for me, quite different. There are those that know the way, can tell others what to do, but don't walk in it themselves. And so in a certain sense, ask and we shall receive. But beloved, walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. King David, who taught his son so eloquently, he prayed in Psalm 51 after he had committed folly and sin. He said, thou desirest truth, and in the inward parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And so tonight, just let us consider these things. If we please God, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26, if we choose the right things, asking for counsel and doing it. You know, God says in Ecclesiastes 2 and 26, he will give us wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And then walk in that way, as Daniel 2 and verse 21 says. Now then, Moses laid his hands upon Joshua, and he was filled with wisdom. We have a greater than Moses present here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. He appeared to me once as wisdom. And it was an awesome sight to look upon him, knowing he knew everything. And oh, what humility he had, because here's wisdom, because it pleased the Father, that in him always wisdom should dwell. But also in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, you know, the church is supposed to manifest the manifold, the multicolored, the varied wisdom of God, that in every situation we find ourselves, we are to be controlled by wisdom. Amen. So at work, wisdom is to prevail. You know, I met a lady, I can't remember where, but she made the comment to me, you know, I could get promoted, but she said, in this office, it was apparently a large office, she said, all the women just come to me for wisdom. And she said, somehow I feel I should stay at that place so that I can manifest the wisdom of God through my life, through my lips, guiding others. Beloved, wisdom is to be manifested in every facet of our life. How to bring up the children. Amen. You know, they're not to be obsessions. You made a commitment to your husband. He comes first. Isn't that right? In marriage, he comes first. The children you only have for 20 years, they're on loan to you. Your husband is a permanent fixture. They are not to be idols of little children. They are not to block you from the work of the ministry. Wisdom in putting everything in its right place. Having the right perspective. Tonight, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. And God will confirm the preaching of his word. And tonight, you want wisdom? Oh God, I want to be a wise-hearted. You know who glorifies God? Those who are wise. And they inherit glory too. And so wisdom is the principal thing. With all I getting, get wisdom and understanding. Those two things.